Seth, Beth, and James on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with the crisis at the southern border as the ACLU makes a legal move to block a new law in Texas that'll allow police to arrest undocumented migrants. Their numbers are soaring. U.S. Border Patrol says average daily apprehensions are up from 6,000 today in October to almost 7,900. Correspondent Omar Villafranca is in Eagle Pass.
There's a holding area right now where we're at. There's probably easily over 1,000 migrants that are down there. There's also some kids who have crossed with their parents. CBP has given them Mylar blankets to keep them warm as temperatures dip into the 40s and 50s here at night.
Former President Trump is doubling down on comments about the migrant influx.
They're ruining our country. And it's true. They're destroying the blood of our country. That's what they're doing.
His words have been compared to Hitler's, but Mr. Trump told supporters in Waterloo, Iowa, he's never even read the Nazi leader's manifesto, Mein Kampf. Fellow Republican presidential candidates are speaking out against a historic ruling in Colorado, finding Mr. Trump not eligible to be on the primary ballot there because of his actions related to the January 6th attack. Nikki Haley.
We don't need to have judges making these decisions. We need voters to have make these decisions. So I want to see this in the hands of the voters. We're going to win this the right way.
Chris Christie and Vivek Ramaswamy agree. A pilot and a TV photojournalist from Philadelphia have been killed in a helicopter crash. KYW's Tim Jimenez.
They flew to the Jersey Shore for an assignment and then headed back. But New Jersey State Park Police Chief George Fedorzik says they got word the helicopter was unaccounted for. But then, at midnight,
police officer located and confirmed a debris field.
The cause of the crash is under investigation, with the NTSB leading the way.
Europe has the U.S. beat in the EV department.
I'm Vicky Barker at the Foreign Desk in London. Almost half of new cars registered in the European Union this year were electric. Sales figures are likely to cross the 50% threshold in 2024 and are on track to meet the 2035 deadline for all vehicles sold in the EU to be zero emissions. In contrast, only 9% of passenger vehicles sold in the U.S. this year will be electric.
Lawmakers in Newark, New Jersey are considering a proposal to allow high school students ages 16 and 17 to vote for school board members who approve their curriculum, sports, and activities budgets. Newark, like many cities and towns, has a history of low voter turnout in Board of Ed elections, including a 3% rate in the last round. The next is in April. S&P futures down 7. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Inspired by real events, the sixth and final season of the acclaimed fictional Netflix drama The Crown is now streaming. Prince William tries to integrate back into life at Eton in the wake of his mother's death, as the monarchy has to ride the wave of public opinion. As she reaches her golden jubilee, the Queen reflects on the future of the monarchy with the marriage of Charles and Camilla and the beginnings of a new royal fairy tale in William and Kate. All episodes are now streaming only on Netflix.
The holidays are the happiest time of the year. That is, unless you or your loved ones are miserable because of colds, sinus infections, or allergies. This holiday season, give the gift of better breathing with Navage. Wash away your cold and congestion problems this holiday season. Add Navage to your gift list so you can breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier all year long. Ask for Navage at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, or find us online at Navage.com. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden in Wisconsin today talking up his efforts to boost the economy. He tells supporters in Milwaukee that unemployment is at a 50-year low and confidence is growing that the U.S. has averted an economic downturn. 35,000 state university employees in Wisconsin are getting their 4% pay raises that were approved 6 months ago. A deal struck between lawmakers and the universities, trades raises, and building money for curtailed diversity efforts. It got final approval by a panel of lawmakers yesterday.
Diversity, equity, inclusion is important. The action we are taking today should have been done months ago and should never have been used as a bargaining chip for this process.
Senate Democratic Minority Leader Dianne Hasselbein. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. People in Southwood County were able to get information on low-cost or free health care last week at the Mid-State Gym, thanks to the Wood County Health Department, H2N, and R2N networks.
We got to talking and we just kept expanding it and expanding it and made it into a holiday health resource fair.
That's Audrey Day, community health worker with Wood County and organizer of the event. She said close to 150 people attended last Friday, with several taking advantage of getting their COVID-19 and flu vaccinations while they were there.
And it was really targeted towards any kind of vulnerable populations as well.
Local businesses donated food and volunteers made egg rolls and fry bread. Lots of toys and resources were given out, as well as pictures with Santa.
We had a lot of people come together to make this happen, so I'm grateful for it.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Mostly sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. We'll get to the upper 30s to near 40 for a high today. The wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy into the upper 20s. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with a high near 40. By Friday, a few sprinkles with a high of 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Seth and Beth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I didn't know which one of you would go first if I did it that way.
It was a race.
Next time, we'll do it together.
Okay.
Fun things on the way for you. Oh, I like that. In a little bit, we're going to get into things younger people don't get about the past decade.
That sounds like fun.
That's going to be a good one coming up. I got a little bit of science news and some other fun stuff we'll get into as well. I want to touch on. And then some other things, too. We're going to get to. But we got a call coming in. Let's go ahead and take it. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, you guys were playing some good Christmas music, but I'm surprised you did not play Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, Merry Christmas, Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
It's one of those ones.
It's actually a cover of an Otis Redding song. But
yeah.
Man,
yes.
That is probably my number one song. I wanted to sneak that one in after the break.
That's a good one. That's a great one to mention. And Otis's version is really good. Yeah. Too,
I heard it the other day. It's an amazing song.
That's a great one, man. Thanks so much for the mention. We like it. We're going to throw that one into our playlist too.
Right on, man.
Merry Christmas to you and yours, brother.
Bye.
Hey, we appreciate you guys' calls. Keep them coming. 424-2600, 715-424-2600. Love hearing from the best listeners in radio. Let's dive into some entertainment news. Madonna thanked her lucky stars and some special friends during a recent concert in Brooklyn. That was a bad line.
Yeah.
That was
bad.
Wow.
That was bad, especially with what I'm about to tell you. Many don't know, she just released this information that back in June, she was in hospitalization, revealing that she was put into an induced coma.
Wow.
Quote, "There are some very important people in this room tonight that were there with me in the hospital," Madonna said during the concert, according to footage posted on a Twitter. I'm not calling it X. From a concert this weekend on her Celebration World Tour. Mm-hmm. She continued to say, "There's one very important woman who dragged me to the hospital. I don't even remember. I passed out on my bathroom floor. I woke up in the ICU."
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
For somebody who, I mean, there was a point in time where Madonna broke a nail and we knew, you know?
Isn't that like remarkable? Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And reading this story, it reminded me of a conversation that I had over this weekend or the weekend before. I don't remember. It actually came up because we were talking about the King of Pop and who that is. Because, you know, Michael Jackson was always considered the King of Pop. Right. But now removed from the 80s and 90s a little bit, and we have some time to think about these things. I think it's a fun debate to have. Mm-hmm. There's no wrong answer.
Right.
Unless you say Buster Poindexter. There's no wrong answer.
And that is objectively wrong. Yes, you are correct.
Where in God's name did that come from? I haven't thought of that name in ages. I don't know why I just pulled that. Of all the 80s names I could pull, Buster Poindexter I found in this brain of mine. I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, but I pulled out Buster Poindexter. At any rate, we're talking about this, and This is a fun debate, I think, because where Michael, obviously the hits, the dancing, his iconic status and everything. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think of a guy like Prince, and I think of the mm-hmm. artist that Prince, it wasn't just Prince's music. It was all the other artists that Prince helped rise up
yep.
or gave
yep.
them a song or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the different genres. Like Prince hit yep. so many different genres than Michael did and everything.
Right.
So I don't know who the true king of pop is, but I am positive, without a shadow of a doubt, who the queen of pop mm. is. And it is Madonna. Yeah. And there is no question about this. When you can look at, you can name so many great artists, and we're going to talk about one of them in a moment, Cher, who, a fantastic artist. But mm-hmm. Cher kind of took a break from singing and stuff yep. and kind of went into acting, won herself an Oscar, and stuff. There's a lot of great female, Diana Ross. There's a lot of greats. None of them have hits in like 4 to 5 decades long,
right.
Where her career, Madonna is still a relevant name in 2023.
Yes.
It is.
People who are 23 know who Madonna is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's incredible what that woman did. You don't have to like her. You don't have to be a fan of Madonna's or anything like that. You have to respect her game, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
The only name that I would throw out there, and we won't know because she was taken too soon, would be Whitney Houston. Mm. That would be a name I would throw out there because that's who also I think of when I think of the 1980s, yeah. 1990s. She was up there with Madonna.
Right.
I have no doubt that if Whitney was still around, mm-hmm. she'd probably have hits in those decades.
Absolutely.
And this would be such a fun conversation to be able to have. Because that's a perfect name to mention.
Yeah.
Perfect name. And probably the only one that, like you said, would have been able to compete mm-hmm. with her on that level. So just a chance to appreciate the material girl for a moment. And I'm wishing her well.
Hope
she's doing
all right there.
Yep.
I mentioned Cher. Cher was on the Kelly Clarkson show recently, and shout out to Kelly Clarkson, who is the new queen of daytime, it turns out.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming, but a real credit to her and her really enjoying this. Same thing to Drew Barrymore, too.
Like,
daytime TV was dying, mm-hmm. and these two are two of the voices that brought it back, along with every 90 judge shows.
Yeah.
There are 100 exactly. judge shows on TV now.
What is up
now.
With that?
I don't know. They've run out of ideas.
Weird.
So Cher was on there the other day, and she said, quote, they brought up about her not being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And this has, of course, been coming up recently with Dolly Parton and that.
Uh-huh.
She says, quote, and I'm not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. After the studio audience let out a collective groan, Cher told them it was okay with her. You know what? I wouldn't be in now even if they gave me $1 million. I'm not kidding you. She doesn't want to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because they didn't ask her soon enough. Like, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much what it comes down to. I love that Dolly Parton, it was, oh, honey, I'm not a rock star. You shouldn't put me in there and everything.
Yeah.
She's too humble, all this. Cher. Cher is still Cher.
Yeah. And she, to be perfectly blunt, she should be in the Rock and Roll Hall
of
Fame.
Absolutely.
Like, again, many decades of success that we're talking about here.
I just assumed she was.
Yeah, I did too.
I just assumed that she was. Like, that's a failure on the hall. That's
absolutely.
On them.
Yeah.
If we could turn back time,
nice.
We could put her there.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Thank you. As my husband just rolls his eyes.
I love it. I love it.
Good grief.
There's a great article from Billboard.com about the 12 reasons Cher belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, there you go.
We're not
going
to go through that,
right.
but she does.
She does.
Yeah.
I think that it's such a given that she does. You don't need us to go through 12 reasons.
No.
Like, if you know the name Cher, mm-hmm. you understand she belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I wanted to take a moment talk about the upcoming auditions for The Glass Menagerie, one of Tennessee Williams' better shows coming up with Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. It's going to be their next production. Mm-hmm. Auditions are coming up January 2nd and 3rd. I'm going to try to get their director on, Seth.
He's a hard get.
Seth Huberger. Dang it, I practiced this.
Very reclusive, you know. He's one of those guys.
You know. If I say it quick, I can get away with it.
Bless you. Yes.
Seth Habagger is going to be directing this one. And Seth, this is an important piece to you. And we'll talk about this more close, probably as you come back. Seth's going to be gone. Actually, both of you guys are going to be gone next week.
He is taking this with him, yes.
Yes.
Hard as I tried, darn.
I'm not used to having you both on the air with me and stuff. So, but the family's going to be out of town next week and stuff, so we will we won't have Seth with us. This is actually your last shows for the year. These next couple days, and everything. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to take some time to be able to get let you talk about this, not just me rambling about it. Seth, we of course encourage every single person out there listening to audition or you know try out for behind the scenes things and stuff. Right.
Except for me.
Oh, you're going to be a help, just not that way. Yeah.
Is there anything else you think people it would be good for people to know going into an audition for something like this?
Yeah, you know, it's Tennessee Williams is an interesting, you know, playwright. You know, last year they did Streetcar Named Desire, and there are certain things about his plays that are a little difficult in terms because there's a lot of monologues and that kind of thing. So you have to be ready to memorize, you know, certain big chunks of dialogue, that sort of thing. For this one specifically, this was his first published play, and it was his first big hit. And in the introduction to it, he says, you know, this is a memory play, okay? It's loosely based on his own life. But it's not, he didn't go back and say, you know, like, this happened at this date and this thing. He called it a memory play because it's about memory. It's about what he was thinking, going back in his mind. And he knows that, you know, you're never going to remember things exactly the way they are. There's things that are going to be a little foggy kind of thing. And that's the way I'm going to be approaching this show. That's why we're going to be doing it in a multimedia way. So what we're going to be having is a filmed segments. Yes, actually, you're going to be in front of the camera, and we're going to film it. We're going to have voiceover things with some other video projection stuff that we're going to be working on. Some of it's going to be in silhouette. Some of it's going to be so there's going to be a lot of different ways interacted with actual performance on stage. I don't want to take that away to think it's all going to be that, because it's not. There's going to absolutely be performances on stage. It can be it's a very intense show. There's only four people in the cast. One thing I would like to encourage is if we could get some younger people to audition, because especially Laura, the younger daughter in there, and then the gentleman caller Jim. Are both supposed to be in the younger side.
Fine, I'll audition. Fine.
You get this mascara in the beard there.
I haven't been able to play young for a while.
So I'm encouraging people, if you're, you know, like in your 20s or in 30s even, it'd be great if you could come out for an audition for it as well, because, you know, you never know. This might be that one of those roles that that really breaks it out. I was able to play Tom, who's the main character. He's the stand-in for Tennessee Williams many, many years ago. And I have to say, it's probably my favorite role of all time was him, just because of his Tennessee Williams writing is so beautiful. His words are just wonderful to recite on stage. So I encourage as many people to come out as are able.
And to use a metaphor from your favorite sport, Seth knocked it out of the park.
I have no doubt.
I found the poster that we put out too.
You were so young.
I look a lot younger. Yeah,
that's cool. It's one of, I mentioned this before. It's one of my favorite monologues. The opening monologue that Tom does in that is one of my favorites. I feel like this is one of those ones where you do this show 20 years from now, you'll be talking about it just like Seth is.
Oh yeah.
We have a perfect example of it right here.
Yeah.
And it seems like a bit of a full circle thing for you too, doing this.
It is because the production we were in that was the same, like what I want to do. And the reason I wanted to do it in a similar way is that unfortunately, when we did it, not many people came to see it, and I was very disappointed by that, because it was an amazing, you know, technical feat and all this stuff. And I thought all of us, all the actors gave really good performances. So I, in order to honor the director of that, my good friend Jill Nadeau. I wanted to do it the same way that she did it. And not exactly the same way, of course.
Sure.
But as much as I can honor the way she did it, because I think it's just a different and new way to look at a classic. This is one of the standards of American theater of plays, is the Glass Menagerie. So I want to be able to have people look at it in a new way.
I've been working as a professional actor since 2008, and I've gotten a chance to work with a lot of really cool, wonderful people. Seth is one of the most talented human beings I've ever shared a stage with, and I cannot imagine what you're going to be like as a director. One of the more giving actors I've worked with, too. So as a director, I can only imagine how you will be with that. If you are somebody who especially has been on the fence and you've never done a show before, I got to think that this is a really good one to join. Working with a director director like Seth, and that is certainly occurs behind the scenes too when it comes to people and props and stuff, and with a lot of the things that you are doing with this show, I can imagine that you're going to need all hands on deck.
Yeah, especially for some of the technical aspects of it, making sure everything timing is going to be of the essence on this one. It has to be very precise timing on certain things. So yeah, I'm gonna need all kinds of people to help out on this. Mm-hmm.
Did you have some? The Glass Menagerie audition dates will be January 2nd and 3rd, 6:30 over at the WRCT Auditorium. They'll have the read-through on January 4th. I like how you have all that already planned out. I'm not surprised, but I just love that
we're going to hit it. Yep, that's right.
And the show will hit the stage in March, so keep those things in mind. And you do not have to compete against me. You don't have to. I wanted so badly to play Tom. I wanted that role, but I have a couple of auditions coming up, and one of them in particular, I was told from the director to keep some time open, so I just will not be free at the end of February and at the beginning of March, probably, for what the auditions. I don't do this very often, but I have to with these because I'm doing these back to back Friday. Mm-hmm. It's the same casting company that's casting both of these, so it kind of works out. Mm-hmm. There's one that I'm doing. It's a voiceover role for Dead Encounters. It's a fictional podcast of a horror writer where he interviews fictional witnesses and victims who have experienced encounters and afterlife and all this. Sounds really interesting.
It does.
And with my background in radio, they kind of thought, this will be good. This will be something good for this. But what I'm really excited about, I shaved my beard down for it because this sounds really good. It's already down to me and three other people. It's an independent one, but Blue Gum, a powerful short film set in the late 70s in a world where the Black Power movement and vampires collide. Sign me up. I don't care. I'll do it for free.
It's Blackula on steroids, man.
I'll do that for free, man. Don't tell my agent that, but it's exciting. It's exciting to be to have all these things to be back and running. We've got our local theaters back. We've got movies and things back and running and all of this. It's an exciting time if you are, if you like entertainment. If you like being entertained. We will take a quick break. We're going to come back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Dive into the festive spirit with Quality Foods Holiday Seafood Sale, where ocean and holiday delights meet. Elevate your holiday feast with the finest seafood. Succulent shrimp starting at $8.49 a pound. Lobster tails starting at $6.99 each. And don't forget the decadent king crab legs. Quality Foods Seafood Sale has it all. Don't miss out on these treasures from the ocean. Then celebrate with a bounty from the sea. Drop by the Quality Foods locations of Wisconsin Rapids to reel in the savings. More details at qualityfoodswisrapids.com.
Menards is celebrating Ryan Blaney's NASCAR championship with 12% off everything till Christmas. Tackle jobs around the house with Metabo power tools and accessories packed with features and the power to get the job done right. That's why Metabo is the choice of pros. Pick up an 18-gauge Brad Nailer for only $42.99 after 12% off. Hurry in before Christmas Day. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. Sorry, no price adjustments. See store for details.
Four seasons greetings to you all from Menards.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. We'll get to the upper 30s to near 40 for a high today. The wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy into the upper 20s. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with a high near 40. By Friday, a few sprinkles with a high of 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holidays to you.
Is that difficult to do that as a singer, what he does right there? Two.
Not necessarily.
It seems like it.
Depends. It depends.
Seems like it. See, I admire it every time I hear it. I've been hearing it since I was a little kid. And every time I've ever heard it, just I admire him being able to do that. I don't know.
I believe in singing, that's called a swoop, isn't it?
It's a swoop. Yeah. And it's hard to distinguish the swoop from a slide.
Because you don't want to swoop from a slide, yeah.
You want to swoop, not slide.
Yeah, very cool. I'm so glad I asked.
Oh, having a Costello routine coming up.
Yes, yes. Who's on first?
Was that a swoop or slide?
Let's get into a little bit of science news.
Science!
Science! She blinded me. We need that as a bumper.
We do need enough science stuff.
I think we need that. So I want to get into just a couple of quick notes on science. What I like to do with this segment, though, is we'll talk about a little of this, but I want you guys to do some homework. I want you to look into some of these things yourselves, do your own research on this stuff, and find out what you can learn. If you're a morning person, it might be because you're a part Neanderthal.
Oh, I love that.
Our ancient ancestors got it on with them, and we still have up to about 4% Neanderthal DNA.
That's right.
A study found a lot of those leftover bits affect genes that govern our internal clock, and certain variants make you more likely to be a morning person.
How about that?
Don't tell your sister.
Oh, no, I'm going to tell her that. Yeah, yeah, Neanderthal.
Fascinating. I think for some that might be news to them, just the 4% of Neanderthal that is in us still.
Yeah.
I think to a lot of women out there, that's not surprising at all. No, that's it was a low hanging joke. I get it. But that's really interesting though. Like to think. I mean, it's been a long time since then, and
that's something that's come out recently about the intermating between Neanderthal and humans, what became humans, because they're two different species.
Oh,
They're not this. We're not the same species, but they were able to. You know, commingle, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And which is why, like James said, you know, they found out that we do have a small amount of Neanderthal blood for most humans, I think.
Oh.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
This is. In dog news, a TikTok went viral claiming dogs are actively trying to make us laugh. It's a bit of a stretch based on the actual study from 2014, but it did find that they're good at reading emotions and might prefer laughter over other sounds.
Oh.
Who doesn't?
Right?
Laughter, I'm telling you, it's universal.
I'm telling you, in some ways, there are some things that I see with dogs or I hear about dogs, and I'm like, they're smarter than us. They really are. They get it. When's the last time you saw a dog stressing over something that they can't do anything about?
Right.
Right, exactly.
There's so many things about them. They also eat their own poo.
Maybe they know something we don't know.
It could be.
We know cats are smarter than us, and maybe, I think you're right, dogs might be too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In cat news, a study found cats are cutthroat. They are willing to kill and eat just about anything. This study identified 2,084 different species they consume.
Wow.
Birds, mice, lizards, insects, they'll eat it all.
Yeah.
So cats are part goat.
Yeah, yeah. Tin cans. Yeah.
So they don't have the discriminating taste that the commercials told us.
Right, right, yeah, yeah.
They lied to us.
So Fancy Feast, it's a lie.
Yeah.
It's just a big lie. I smell a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. In bird news, a study found parrots like to dunk their food in water just like we enjoy dunking cookies in milk.
Maybe they watched us do it.
I was going to say, is that because that they've seen humans
or
do it?
Or did the first person to dunk a cookie in milk do it because they saw a parrot dunking their food in water?
Which came first?
Yes, yes. Oh, which came first?
Oh, perfect. Man.
That's perfect. We've got some more of these I want to do. Some interesting news about whales. And came across a story yesterday about apes and their memory that is fascinating. Mm-hmm. We don't have the time for them right now, so we'll get into them tomorrow. We'll have more science for you then.
Yay.
Science good.
I want to do a little bit more of these. This is a topic that does not get covered literally at all.
Hardly at all,
like,
yeah.
Nobody's covering science news.
Right.
Nobody's covering these things. And some of the most fascinating, interesting research is going on.
Absolutely.
Some of the more